was thinking back, two, three, 4 years back. I was on the way to church one morning, and I left quite a bit early, and I was just driving the back roads, and I stopped at Ugaw Lake, and there was a man sitting down at the picnic table. I went down and visited with him for a minute. I was looking off the bluff there, off towards the lake. I got to visit with him. I found out he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. And the more I talked to him, he said he grew up in church. And that's even sadder, you know, to know that he knew the Lord at one time. He no longer believed in him. But we've all heard the old saying about Thomas, doubting Thomas, but we've all been there from time to time. And I found myself there many times, you know, doubting the Lord, you know, just worrying when I shouldn't be, and just, you know, the Lord's talked to us tonight. He wanted us to have faith in Him, you know, just trust Him and just reach out to Him. So I'm going to start reading in John chapter 20, 19, before we begin. St. John 20:19 says, "And then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." I want to skip on down verse 24. Verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the prints of the nails, and put my fingers in the side of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." And that's what I want to take my message from tonight, is verse 29. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And none of us yet have seen the Lord. We've known a lot about Him from His Word and the teachings of the Scriptures, and we feel His presence. He sent back the Holy Spirit, the Lord abiding inside of us. We have that witness of the Spirit. But as far as physically, we have not yet seen Him. And one of those songs we were singing tonight, it says, we shall see Him, we'll shout, we'll rejoice. I can't remember how the exact words went, but, you know, when we see Him, it said, it'll be worth it all just in that moment. You know, all the toils will be repaid for just laying our eyes upon Him, beholding Him. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. And, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for Your Spirit here tonight, Lord, in Your presence. We thank You, Lord, for Your love for each of us, Lord, and Your mercy and Your kindness, Lord, and Your long-suffering and patience, Lord. Just keep working in our hearts, we pray, Lord. Just reach to those that don't know You, Lord. We pray, God, that they would come to know You. But ask, Lord God, You'd have Your way here tonight, Lord. Just speak to hearts, Lord. And God, just have Your way. We praise You and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated. Thank you for standing. Now we'll go next over to 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. And, seems to be the theme tonight, talking about faith. And it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. And we can't get to heaven trying to figure out everything from beginning to end, you know, how it's all going to work out. God gives us a little bit, you know, He tells us what He wants to do. He speaks to our heart, and it's up to us to respond and obey. And as we do so, He'll give us more, and we go on from there. It's the continual leading. But he's not going to tell us all the way to the end what's going to happen, you know, how it's all going to work out. And we'd probably be terrified if we knew, you know, some of the things ahead coming our way. But God just promises to be with us all the way. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And he's going to be our strength, our help. And I want to flip over to Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the proof. I've heard Brother Pepper use an analogy before of a courtroom where that evidence, you know, they want proof of what is being said, how it's going to all work out. You know, they can figure out who's guilty and who's not. And this is our evidence, you know, the things we have not seen yet. We may know things in our heart, but we can't explain why or how, but we just know it's all going to work out and God is with us. And, you know, when we're going through hard times, we can feel his presence there and we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret, because we know he's going to take us through. It says, verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Not those that half-heartedly seek him or occasionally, but diligently. When we get serious about serving God and reaching towards him, we'll find him. And it tells us in Jeremiah, when you seek for him with all your heart, then you'll find the Lord. But it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So all things are possible with God. You know, there's nothing too hard for him, nothing he cannot do. Just like Brother Whitley's message, you know, the Lord's got another plan. You know, whatever comes our way, you know, he's got that next step he's going to take. And we can read from the guys in this chapter, in the people in this chapter, you know, how the Lord worked with them. We look at Noah in verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. So it's by faith, once again, that Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, he told him there was a rain coming, a great flood, and he prepared that ark knowing God was going to destroy the earth with a great flood. But 1 week before that flood came, the Lord put Noah in that ark and he shut the door, and his family were in there. They obeyed the Lord, and the Lord saved them all because of his obedience. And in verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. So he was just being obedient. He's just taking one step after another, just heading the direction the Lord told him to go. And the Lord gave him a promised land. He says, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's the same city we're looking for. We're headed for that same homeland. We're going there, and it's faith that's going to help us get there. It's not without faith we cannot get there. We've got to have God's help and just trust in him and just keep on obeying him. In Hebrews 11:24, it says, by faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Even though he had not yet seen God, he knew in his heart that he was real. He had that faith, and he was pressing towards him in obedience. It says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith he passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, swaying to do, were drowned. And we can go on down through this whole chapter. It talks about each one, how they overcome by faith. And we'll do the same as we are on our same journey. You know, we're headed towards heaven, and the Lord's leading us. But it's just one step after another, just obeying the Lord. And when we get off track, just like that Christian and the Pilgrim's Progress, you know, we got to realize, you know, we made a mistake. We got to go back. You know, look for the Lord. Call out to Him for help. We're the ones that got off track. But He'll take us back. You know, He'll lead us on if we'll just admit our mistakes and go on. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So everything we see right now, we can see with our eyes. You know, it's going to pass away one day. It's not going to exist forever. It's going to be burned up. The earth and the heaven says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And God's going to make a new place for His people to dwell. It's going to be a beautiful place. And He's already prepared it. And many have made it to that side already. And, you know, Sister Pepper was talking about her dad and how he won't be weary and weak when we get to the other side. I remember many nights stopping by. Sorry. I visited with him after Bible study many nights. Tried to talk to him about the Lord, you know, tried to persuade him to accept the Lord. And he told me one time, "I think you're trying to persuade me to be a Christian." And I think, yeah, I think so. It really blessed my heart knowing that he made it to the other side, Sister Pepper. I mean, every step of the way, every battle, you know, it's worth it. When we get to the other side, we're going to see friends. I'm looking forward to meeting him again over there. But just because we can't see something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Brother Pepper has mentioned before, you know, we can't see oxygen. If we don't have it, we're not going to be around here very long. We're going to kill over. You know, the plants, they got to have carbon dioxide. They breathe. What we breathe out, they breathe in. We help each other. But we can't see the wind, but we can see the trees moving, the grass, things like that. We can see the evidence of it being there. In the same way, the Holy Spirit, just like He passed through here tonight, we can see the evidence of the Lord's presence. You know, we can feel it in our hearts. And the coronavirus, one of the co-workers works on the opposite side of the wall from me, got welding booths and they got rows down through here. And he didn't believe there is a coronavirus. He thinks it's all a big hoax. And the scientists have seen it as a virus, but it resembles a crown shape. That's where it gets its name from. Corona comes from the Latin word, I believe it is, for crown. That's what they came up with for a name for it. But anyway, it does exist. We have seen the evidence, you know, of its existence. It's hurt some people more than others, and I wish it was gone. I wouldn't be sad at all if it was just wiped out completely. But we know the devil in this old world, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And, you know, as long as we're on this side of eternity, you know, we're going to have our battles, but the Lord's going to help us through it. But you can think back of two famous women that were blind. I have, and Helen Keller was one, and Fanny Crosby was another, came to my mind. And You know, they were in the same world we're in. Now, everything that exists, we could see, they could not see. They were totally blind, and they were just like in a different world. Even though things around them existed, they couldn't see it. So just because we can't see something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And we fight an enemy that we cannot see, the old devil. We're fighting against wickedness in high places, you know, in a can't remember all that scripture, but, you know, we have an enemy that's wanting to take us out. We have a God that's for us, and he's going to help us make it through. And here, I think it was last month, I was debating on whether to pay my missions or not. Things have been really tight financially for me during this coronavirus, and furloughed here and there, off and on. But anyway, I went ahead and paid my missions, not knowing how I was going to pay my bills, but I just decided I'm going to do it. And the Lord worked it all out. I got to looking back through my bills and figured out, you know, how I'd already made a payment ahead of time, and I was all covered for the month, and I didn't realize it at the time I made that mission payment. But the Lord spoke to us in a tongues interpretation in that service one night when I testified about that, and he was talking about he wants us to step out when we can't see how it's all going to work out. He wants us to go on. And he spoke that again tonight, basically the same thing, just trying to get us to trust him and reach out to him. And there's one scripture, I can't quote it exactly, it says, "Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." I think it's in Proverbs, if I remember right. But we're not to try to figure it all out and make it home on our own. The Lord's the one that's in charge. He's going to lead us. We just got to learn to trust him and let him call the shots. And Old Testament prophets, they were called seers. They could see things ahead of time before they happened. They prophesied of things, some of them hundreds of years before they happened. Isaiah 7:14 was one of them. It's in, I'll flip over right quick. Talked about the Lord's birth, his coming. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel." And a virgin conceiving a son, you know, that is unheard of. Never happened before. Never happened since. And, you know, that prophet probably had to really be trusting the Lord to make a prophecy like that. You know, he had to listen to the Lord, and as he did, you know, he spoke just what the Lord told him, and it all come to pass, 100% accurate. And Isaiah 53 talks about how the Lord would go to the cross for us and pay the penalty for our sins. You know, he says, we all like I'm going to skip, find my place here. Well, let's start in verse 3 of chapter 53, Isaiah. He says, "He is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." And it goes on down. I'm not going to read all of it, but it just talks about how he paid that penalty for our sins that we could not pay. He was the only one that could, and he was willing. Thank the Lord for his love for his people. And we can look also at Isaiah, where Isaiah the prophet, he prophesied about Israel and Judah being judged by God, and the Babylonians coming in and destroying that city and taking them prisoners, you know. But some of the false prophets, they prophesied, "Oh, it's just going to be a year or two, you know, and it'll be all right. We'll be back, you know." But it was like 70 years, and Isaiah told them, you know. And we can look at Balaam. he disobeyed God, and he, in Numbers 22:31. Having problems finding that one. Anyway, it talks about how he disobeyed God and he was going on, and the angel there met him in the path, and you know, the donkey he was riding it brushed him up against the wall and crushed his leg against, and he started beating this donkey, and the donkey started talking to him, you know, and that would have been something that would flip me smooth out right there, you know, when the donkey starts talking to you. But anyway, the angel of the Lord opened his eyes so that he could see that angel. The angel was fixing to destroy him with a sword, and if he had continued on. But anyway, God opened his eyes. He couldn't see that angel. We can't see angels around us, but they're probably all around us. Many times we don't even realize it. And God said they are ministering spirits to help us that are called to the kingdom of God. In 2 Kings 6:15, there's a young man with Elisha one time, and the big army was gathered around him. Battle was fixing to start, and said, "How do we do?" In 6:15. Says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. Anyway, he takes them captive, leads them into the camp there, and he prays again. The Lord opened their eyes, and they realize what's going on. And he says, "Shall we slay him?" He says, "No, fix him something to eat, you know, and turn them loose." And he said, he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the hands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. So the Lord was with them, even though they had all this help around about them. That young man could not see all the chariots and the horses there, but there was a great army there, invisible to him, but yet he was. They were there to help them. And we can look at Saul's name before he became Paul in Acts 9 and verse 1, and how he was persecuting the church, and the Lord met him on the road to Damascus and blinded him there for 3 days. He had to be led around by the hand. But it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters of Damascus to the synagogues, that he be found, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed and came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me?' He said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' He, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?' And the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do.' And the men which sojourned with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." And once again, you know, this voice just comes out of nowhere talking to him. And the witnesses there, they're kind of rattled. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. They led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he spoke later on to to Ananias, and anyway, the Lord was working on both ends, brought Saul and Ananias together and prayed, and the Holy Spirit was working there on both ends. And says, I'm getting too big a hurry here, skipping over places and things, but it says, anyway, Ananias obeyed the Lord, and he went and prayed for him. His eyes were open. The scales came off of his eyes, and he could see once again. And verse 12 says, he sent in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done unto thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all them that call on thy name. And the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, the children of Israel. And I will show you how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. In the way the Lord changed him, made a new person out of him, a new creature, and wrote a lot of our New Testament that we have, and was a great example for all the believers to follow after. He's very dedicated to the Lord. But my son, about a month ago, I had a package show up the front door, and it was a birthday present from Bryce, and he sent me a telescope, a little monocular, I guess you'd call it, one side, and it isn't very big, got a little big tripod with it. But he said, I enjoyed going back in the behind the college there watching the wildlife. He thought I could use it back there, you know, just play with. And I have done so. I went back there and tried to watch the deer and the squirrel and the birds, you know, and things. Got there one day in the parking lot before I left, and there was a hawk up in a tree, and I could see him screaming and things, and got my telescope out and put it on the toolbox and watched him. You could see him open his mouth, and each time he hollered and everything, just like he was that far away. But it was really neat. But that telescope, if it's out of focus, you know, it's not going to do you much good, and you can't see much, just a blur. That's the same way with our Christian life. You know, if we're not in touch with God and we're not being led by Him, we can't see the path He's got for us and what He's wanting us to do. And Stephen, being stoned, saw all the way into heaven, Jesus standing by the Father. It says in Acts 7:56, and says, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And our lesson this morning in Sunday school is about forgiveness. And that's what Stephen was saying when he prayed just before he left this earth. He said, they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. But even though he is here on earth, he could see all the way into heaven. He said he's seen the Son of Man standing by the right hand of God. I don't know how long a distance that is, but it's a long ways, I'm sure. But God allowed him to see right in where he was fixing to go. And we can look at Joseph's life in the Old Testament. He's one of my heroes I like to look up to in the scriptures. He talks about in Genesis 50:19 is also some of the reading in our Sunday school lesson. If you read in the front part, the extra scriptures. There was many false accusations made against him, and a lot of abuse come his way, even from family members. You know, things that were said that wasn't true. He suffered a lot for the Lord's sake. But he never got bitter. He never gave up on the Lord. He just kept going on. Says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in a place of God. But As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people." So the Lord allowed him to turn around and save his own family, the ones that brought so much persecution to him, his brothers, and did a lot of bad things to him, but he forgave him and went on. Mustard seed is a very tiny little seed, and yet it grows up to a big plant, almost like a tree. The birds can lodge in it, the scriptures say. And even though it's very tiny, it can grow something big. And it doesn't take much faith to get a lot accomplished. You know, when we're living for the Lord, it just takes that seed faith. And I was talking about things you can't see. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they don't exist. And one thing that come to mind was ID theft. People, thieves coming and stealing your money and your belongings, things that belong to you. You never see them come to your house or anything. Just all done electronically. Just in an instant, they could be halfway around the world and they come steal everything you got. And Facebook, sometimes people put accounts on there that aren't you, and they say things that you're not saying and make comments, and it's all not even anything you may be aware of. Drones, they're used in the military. They're a big thing here in Oklahoma. A lot of aeronautics here in Oklahoma. Drones are something that's increasing here in the works. But it says, I watched a documentary one time how someone in the United States, I think they were up around North Dakota, South Dakota, up somewhere up in that area, and they were fighting against people halfway around the world in the desert. There, they could see from them drones up there so high, the people on the ground didn't even know they were around, but they could see the enemy down there on the ground, and they struck them, and the convoys where the enemy was carrying supplies and things, they wiped them out. And that drone just, you know, even though they didn't even think, they didn't even know it was around, just suddenly, you know, it ended their life. And the devil's that way. We can't see him. We know he exists, but he's like, he wants to destroy each one of us. And it's up to us to stay close to God, stay in his word, stay in prayer. Have that relationship with the Lord. If we don't, he may be successful, but we don't have to let him be so. It's all up to us. And my money, when I work at the shop, it's automatic deposit, direct deposit. Old days, you know, you got paid, you were handed a check, you went to the bank and cashed it. Still do sometimes and some things, but the direct deposit, you're working, you don't even see your money. You can get your little piece of plastic out and you pay here and there. You know, that's what the world's going to, that one world government. But your money, even though you don't see it, it's there. You just, it's like it doesn't even exist. But anyway, in Romans 8 and 24, says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why do he yet hope for? But if we hope for that that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And so the hope we've got of making over into heaven, it's a real hope. It's a hope. Even though we haven't seen heaven, we haven't seen God, it's real. We are trusting, putting all of our trust in a place we've never seen, in a God we have not seen. But it takes a lot of sure dependence on that hope, knowing that it's going to be real. And Jesus is the anchor of our soul. He's not going to lead us. He said it was impossible for God to lie. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to be unsuccessful. Many of the leaders and our politicians, you know, when they get older in age, you know, they sometimes have problems doing their job, and Seems like they get to the point they have to retire. You know, this can't keep going. And that's not a problem with God. He's always going to be there. He wasn't voted in. He was just already around for anything else existed. He's always going to exist. And, you know, he's all-powerful, all-knowing. And he can do what he wants, but he's going to follow his plan according to his word. He's not going to veer from it. But we can put our hope in him, even though we haven't seen him. And one day we will. Those songs we sang tonight, you know, talked about when we see him, how we're going to rejoice. And we talked about memories of loved ones. I've got many over the years. I went to church with elderly folk that passed on. And, you know, I'm waiting to see him again. Some old fishing buddies and different things. First Chronicles, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us met to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things that he might have the preeminence. And so even the things that we cannot see yet, invisible or visible, he created all of them. In 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And he may be invisible to us right now, but one day we step over into that kingdom, we will see him face to face. And pastor was talking about, what are you going to do when you see him? Are you going to just stand there and stare at him? Are you going to be worshiping? Are you going to be excited? You know, it's going to be a day like none other that we've ever experienced. In Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And he tells us to be watching, be ready. You know, he's coming back. How do you look for a God that you can't see right now? We can look by obeying what he says, by doing what he said, and having that witness in our spirit, just knowing that hope we have of making heaven our home one day will come true. In Titus 2:11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're looking for that blessed hope of his return, and I believe it's getting really close. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour, but you can just sense in the air, you know, how close it's getting, looking around, seeing what's going on around you, and the battle that's raging, and knowing that it's all going to come to an end real soon when our Lord takes us home. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end. for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, that as he hath which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. God is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as the Lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifested in these last times for you. And anyway, I know my Lord is coming back. Like I said earlier, I met that one man who was an atheist, and I've met others who didn't believe in God and didn't live for him. One of these days, all will believe in him. Every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess. They will see him. They'll know that he is real. And the devils believe now, and they tremble. They know he's real. But some people are more deceived than the devil himself. They don't believe in him. But I'm thankful that God sent back that Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Come, we can't see. He can live inside of us and just help us and comfort us through our hard times. And even in the joyful times, you know, we can just rejoice along with him. But our God is good. So blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. And, you know, I can't see how anyone can look at creation, the beauty out there, and all how it all works hand in hand and has existed for so long and not believe in God. Tells us in Psalms 19, you know, the heavens declare his glory. But, let's turn it back to you, Pastor.
God. Hallelujah.